All right, so we are working our way through a sermon series on our values as a church. By way of review, your core beliefs, those things deep inside you, good or bad, whether you want them there or not, plus your core values, those are the beliefs you choose to have there, you want to keep there. Together, they drive everything you think, you feel, and do with your life. In other words, your values matter a lot. They provide this framework, like this structure we built, that everything else in your life hangs on. So there's really no point in trying to change certain behaviors in your life until you are able to change the values that drive those. At Grace, we have 8 core values: worship, discipleship, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, impartiality, outreach, generosity, authentic community, and cultural relevancy. I don't have those memorized. I actually have a little screen in the back. Today we're going to talk about cultural relevancy. And last night, as I sat at dinner with my sister and her family and my wife and kids, and they were talking about all this stuff in the Olympics and the Ukraine-Russia thing and all this, I was like, I am not equipped to say anything about cultural relevancy. I felt so out of touch, you know? And then I was reminded by the Lord, like, he spoke through a bush one time. He spoke through a donkey. So I can, like, make donkey sounds anyway. Let's pray. God, if you don't speak, nothing happens. All of creation is here because you spoke. We have to hear from you, God. Would you speak through me today? Would you speak to me, and would you speak through me? We have got to hear you, and we've got to have the courage to follow you. We pray you'd help us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a few definitions to set the frame here. A culture is a way of life for a group of people. In its most simplest form, a culture is a way of life. It's the behaviors, the beliefs, the values, and symbols that that culture accepts. It's the stuff you do without even thinking about it. That's your culture. Relevance is this idea of being closely connected to, appropriate to, important to people of a certain time, period, circumstance. To be relevant is not the same, is not to be the same as. To be relevant is to be important to. So to be culturally relevant, this is our definition anyway as a church, to be culturally relevant is to be doctrinally true while intentionally engaging our culture. We value excellence, creativity, humility, honesty, and risk. See how we slipped a few others in there? A few extra values? We did that because they matter. It takes excellence, creativity. It takes humility and honesty and risk to engage the culture. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, let's hit briefly what being culturally relevant is not. Being culturally relevant is not being cool or popular or the same as everybody around you. It's not being on trend. Otherwise, I would be completely culturally irrelevant, and a lot of y'all would be too. Karl Vaders, writing for Christianity Today, warns against both individuals and churches going too far with this idea of relevance. And he says, chasing relevance makes us and our churches look the same in ways we should be different. So to be culturally relevant, it's not being pluralistic. It's not saying all paths lead to heaven. It's not giving up on compromising the truth just to fit in. That only actually limits your relevancy. To be culturally relevant is not being quiet when you should speak up. So what is this mysterious value of cultural relevancy? And what is it that makes us relevant to the culture, to those around us? Well, here's a spoiler alert. I'm going to say this, and then y'all can just check out and do whatever you want. The thing that makes us relevant to the culture is the presence of God within us. That is the single most important thing that makes us relevant. And your very presence in a culture or in a room is what makes you relevant to that culture, because you carry the presence of God. When God gave the command for the people of Israel to leave the desert and go into the promised land, Moses and God had this little talk. And Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, don't even send us from here. What else will distinguish us from all the other people on the face of the earth? What else but God's presence makes us really different?" And God responded to Moses, and he promised, "Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you." The work that he did how? Mostly through his people. He mostly shows himself through his people. We're relevant not so much because we look like people around us or if we fit in so perfectly. We're relevant because we carry the presence of God. We, in some way, radiate God like the moon, right? I was probably like 25 when I realized that the moon actually just reflects light from the sun. I didn't pay much attention in school as a kid. It's not, the moon doesn't do anything. It just reflects the real sun. We carry within us, as Christians, the source, the pure source of all hope and joy and love that the 3,800 plus cultures throughout the world are desperately looking for. Now, Jesus was the ultimate example of this. God becomes a human. A human that needed food and sleep and toilet paper and Band-Aids. Think about that for a minute. Think about how far he went to become relevant. He went so far into the culture, the religious leaders called him what? A glutton and a drunk and a friend of sinners, Matthew 11. Why did they call him that? Because he ate, he drank wine, and he was a friend of all kinds of sinners, a few of which he made his closest leaders. Somehow, Jesus remained doctrinally true while intentionally, and might I say, winsomely engaging the culture. Just like our definition. So how do we do that? To be culturally relevant is to be, and you've heard this one before, but it's worth saying again, to be culturally relevant is to be in the world without being a product of the world. It's loving the people of the world, that's why Jesus said he came to the world, and hating the poisoned ways of the world and the one who makes it poisonous. 1 John 2. To be culturally relevant is to be with the people. Let's talk about that for a minute. In order to be a witness to the people, you have to be with the people. To reach the culture, we need to, in some way, relate to the culture. Now, you don't have to know anything about pop culture or care about pop culture. You just have to care about the people who care about pop culture. I don't know anything about the NFL or the MLB or the NBA or MMA, which I think is ridiculous and evil, actually, I would say. I don't have to know anything about all that, but I'm still relevant to my friends and to a lot of you who care a lot about that stuff. You don't have to be suffering from abuse or disease or suffering from a series of bad decisions in order to be with someone suffering from abuse, disease, or trouble from their own bad decisions. This is exactly what Jesus did all the time, engaging with prostitutes and drunks and lepers. He didn't have personal experience with that, but he engaged people where they were in all that. You know, the word compassion, which often preceded Jesus' most amazing miracles, by the way, the word compassion means to suffer with. And that might be the most important way we can be culturally relevant. My 82-year-old, 4'11" Mennonite grandmother had nothing in common with the men she would visit in the Philadelphia prison on death row, but she was with them. And somehow, God was there with them and made her relevant and connected and important to them. I saw these pictures once of her. She's like this little tiny person. And there are these huge guys, and they had their hands on her shoulders, and they were like this, one on either side of her. To be culturally relevant is to be salt and light for the world, as Jesus promised. And in order for salt to be effective, it has to get out of its wee little shaker and onto or into something, right? In order for light to have any value, it has to be where there is darkness. What value is a flashlight in the daylight? All right, so that all sounds very nice and Christian. And then we get into this thing of actually trying to do this thing in the world with people all around us, and it gets messy and it gets super complicated. Thankfully, for 2,000 years, God's people have been wrestling this thing out and trying to help one another figure it out. There's, you know, every year is 1,000 probably different articles and 100 different books written on engaging the culture. But still, the best source we have is to go back to the scriptures. The teachings of Jesus, the teachings of Paul, which comprise most of the New Testament, they are still our best guide. The Apostle Paul, the first and most famous missionary of all time, he gives us three different roles. He probably gives us about a dozen, but we're going to hit three for the sake of time this morning. These are the roles that help us walk this thing out, walk out this kingdom culture that we're talking about to make ourselves relevant. Three types of cultural relevancy that Paul talks about: being a slave, being a model, and being an ambassador. First of all, a slave. Becoming all things to all people, Paul said. But first, let's get the context of this. Pepe and I were talking about this a couple days ago. Paul wrote these words in Corinthians to the people of Corinth, which was this city near Athens, Greece, where he lived for over a year. Corinth was this bridge between Europe and Asia, this very strategic city at a major world intersection of the time. Think of London or Shanghai, Beijing, LA, New York. Corinth was one of the most cosmopolitan, multicultural cities of the world at that time. It would have been the place where they would have hosted this precursor to the Olympics. It led the world in art and music and culture. Corinthians was highly pluralistic, meaning it placed this high value on the equality of all different types of politics and religion, and highly valuing, as a part of that, freedom, like our own democracy. So knowing that this is the case, let's see then, in that context, let's see what Paul says about this idea of freedom. We sang freedom this morning, right? What type of freedom are we talking about? And what do you use that freedom for? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, "We put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ." That in and of itself, we put up with anything so we don't unnecessarily hinder the good news of God. We don't make the good news something it's not. "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have chosen to make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. He's talking about the Jews. Listen to this. This one blows my mind. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. In other words, he didn't expect people to behave who didn't know how to behave. He was Christ-like to people who didn't know or didn't like Christ. What if we just did that? To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people. This would not work very good in like a modern leadership book or like Essentialism, which I'm reading, by the way. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save a few anyway. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share its blessing. I made myself a slave. I was studying that word a little bit, hoping it meant like servant or something. It means slave. It means a person belonging to someone else. Literally to become enslaved. Paul willingly surrendered his power, his rights, to belong to those around him so that he could serve them. Now, this is not an endorsement of the slavery we're thinking of. This is not to encourage abuse of any kind. Paul is just saying that he's become so captivated by the goodness of God. He's going to do whatever he can to make that goodness accessible to people. And we are to follow his example. We want to be culturally relevant to the cult. We want to be relevant to the culture, not to make our lives easier and not just to fit in. We want to be relevant so that it's easier for people. There's less unnecessary. It's like it's not hard enough to live like a Christian. Let's just not make it harder for people. You can read that in the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, but anyway, it's a whole other thing. The question regarding being relevant to the culture isn't so much how far can I go and still be a Christian. It's not how much freedom can I indulge in and still be a Christian. The question is, how willing are you to lay down your freedom, your time, your money, your rights, so that another person can have the freedom you have? I got to say that one another time. Not that I'm looking for reaction from you all. I just need to hear it again at least. How willing are you to lay down your freedom, your time, your money, your rights, and the fact that you're right, so that another person might have some freedom? So that's the first one, slave. Secondly, a model. We're called to be a model. From Corinth, Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. The people of Thessalonica were actually getting a lot of things right. They were suffering a lot of persecution. Paul was writing to them in large part to prepare them for the second coming. Or that's where we get a lot of our theology for that. And he wants to encourage them. And this is from the introduction to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians beginning in verse 4. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he's chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. So Jesus is the model for Paul. Paul is the model for the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians are the model on how to follow God obediently for the Macedonians. And then the Macedonians spread it everywhere. And we are created to follow that example. We're models. We're examples. Jesus came to earth for two primary reasons. First, to offer his life as a sacrifice for the broken world. And secondly, to show us how to live within that still broken world. And we carry that mission forward. This mission is what Jesus referred to and what he spoke about more than any one other thing, and that is the kingdom of God. He's showing us what it looks like wherever the king is, wherever the king leads, and we are citizens of that kingdom. So we take the life and the teachings of Jesus and we contextualize it and we apply it and we do it. We offer the same flesh and blood example, a model. We are an alternative to the status quo. We are a clear and distinctly different sound for the world. We give them something different to believe in and a model of clarity and values. We have a consistent ethic of values in the Bible, unlike the pick and choose values that you see everywhere else, which is exhausting, by the way. I tried to live that way before I met the Lord. So we are to live as slaves, in a sense, and as models, and also as ambassadors. This word that Paul uses is only used like this one time in the whole scripture. An ambassador is sort of a servant and model combo. They represent their country, and the leader of that country. And we exist to represent the kingdom of God and her king, Jesus. So our kingdom culture, the ways of living in the Christian kingdom, take precedence over every other kingdom culture or preference. Now, by all means, bring your Korean, your Mexican culture to us. Bring your redneck and your high-tech culture to us, please. But let's make sure that all of those submit to the higher culture of the kingdom culture. To the church in Corinth, Paul wrote, God has committed to us, that is God's people, the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. He's trying to talk and reach and persuade and lead people through us. What a task. We have become the righteousness of God, God's choice for his primary reflection on earth. Now, we are only relevant to the culture if we're relevant to God. We're only relevant to the culture if we're relevant, and I might say reverent, to God. To be culturally relevant for God, we have to prioritize our relationship with God. That's how my friend Aaron Nolan said it. The minute an ambassador loses their relevance to the country that sent them, they're immediately pulled from that country. Now, we're only relevant, in a sense, to the degree that people can hear us. I mean, we're not responsible totally for their hearing, but we at least have to try to learn the language, right? Is that fair enough to say? And God wants to help us with this. This is why he's put his spirit in us. So we have this added measure of wisdom and creativity and courage. We have this actual superpower that lives within us to help us lead the culture. Can we just dream here for a second? You know, it used to be long ago that the church led the culture. The church was leading the culture in the arts and music and literature and medicine and everything. And I don't know what happened, but somehow slowly it seems like we've gotten like, I don't know what, we just do our own thing or something? What if we would lead the culture instead of just following the culture? What if we were so captivated by the goodness and the power of God that we weren't so captivated by all the other pretty shiny things around us? Imagine what's possible. Imagine instead of being fearful of the culture, we would bring our awesome culture, our values, boldly to every setting we're in. What if instead of adding to the anxiety and the anger and the judgment in our society, we gave it a beautiful alternative? We can do both. You can speak the truth and speak it in such a way that is loving. What if instead of hating people and avoiding people who look and act and think and vote differently than we do, what if we would hate the enemy and love the people? Proverbs 15, which I read this week, God says in Proverbs 15, he detests the ways of the wicked, the thoughts of the wicked, the paths of the wicked. And yet, somehow, he still loves the wicked. What if instead of looking at the culture through a us, them mindset all the time, what if we remembered that we all will stand accountable to God, and he only knows who's right? We're going to close this thing. If y'all could stand up. Before we close in prayer, I had this sense that when it comes to cultural relevance, all of us have to get in motion in some way. We're not going to do like jumping jacks or anything. When it comes to the culture, some of us have moved too far. Some of us have moved too far. You really don't look that much different from the world around you. You've taken the freedom that you've been granted as a Christian, and you've sort of exploited that freedom for your own pleasure and enjoyment. And the result is, in terms of your witness for Christ, you've become irrelevant because there's no positive friction with those around you. I've been there. Don't pretend you haven't. Confess it again to the Lord, and he will make you new. Do it every day if you have to. So some of us have moved too far into the culture. We don't even look any different. The other problem is some of us haven't moved far enough into the culture. In terms of your witness for Christ, you've become irrelevant because you don't spend any time with people who are different from you or outside of the church. You might be a little bit afraid of those who are different from you, and you're missing this opportunity to grow that in part only comes as you go out. In Acts 1, Jesus said, "And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And what does he say? "That's where I give you my power." He gives power to the degree we need the power to do his stuff. So some of us have moved too far into it, and some of us haven't moved far enough. And most of us are some combination of both. And I just want to encourage you, invite the Holy Spirit to bring clarity and conviction, and he'll tell you, and he will give you better creative, practical application than I can give you. Who do you need to talk to? What do you need to change about your Tuesday nights? What needs to change on your social media? How do you need to spend your money differently? Who's the person you need to stop being quiet to about your faith and tell them? You know, I got to tell you, the reason I do all this stuff the way I do it is because I'm a Christian. And then explain it. Tell them your story. And for some of you, maybe just one or two, you have no idea what I've been talking about because you're not really walking with God yet. And I would especially love to have the privilege to pray for you. So if we could have some ministry team people come up here, we're going to close in prayer. If any of those specific things that I mentioned strike something in you, I want to encourage you before you leave to get prayer or come and get prayer for any random thing at all. All right, let's pray. God, we want to be, most importantly, we want to be relevant to you. We want to be intimate with you. We want to be right with you. That is what makes us relevant to the world around us. So God, I ask for forgiveness for myself and the people of this congregation where we have been disobedient to you in any of a thousand ways. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your help. And God, we ask for boldness to be a light for you, to be salt for this world, wherever we go. We pray for your help in that. You have the best way to live. God, help us to lead others into that way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you all. Bless you. See you next week, hopefully.